Jesus, our Advent King, the well redeemed. Waiting is not easy, is it? Last week, Pastor Wardell asked how many cruel parents we had here tonight who've already put some Christmas presents under the tree to make their kids wait all these weeks to open them. Waiting's not easy. And sometimes what makes waiting even harder is knowing that what you're waiting for is something really good, something that you want, something you can't wait to open, right? I mean, if our children knew that what was under the tree in that little box was a list of all the chores they would have to do, they wouldn't have any trouble waiting at all, right? It's when you know it's something good that it's you have trouble waiting. So what happens when we wait for something, something we expect to be good, something we just are anticipating, and then it's not what we expect? I mean, what if you dropped all kinds of hints that, boy, it'd really be nice to have like a new cell phone, and you leave the flyer out on the kitchen table, and you talk about how much more efficient you would be if you just had a new cell phone, and then so the big day comes and, oh, there, under the tree, perfect size. There it is. Oh, can't wait to open that thing. Here it is. My turn. Okay, rip it open. There it is. It's a calculator. What? No! It's not like a calculator is a really bad thing. It's just that it wasn't what you expected. Waiting for things is hard. But it's twice as hard when what you're waiting for isn't what you actually got. You know, that is true for more than just presents laid under a Christmas tree. It's also true of a present laid in a manger. Isn't that right? For 4,000 years, God's people waited. Can you imagine how hard that would have been? To wait all those years for the coming Messiah. And then, when he shows up, he's not who they expect him to be. He doesn't do what they expect him to do. And that left many of them disappointed, frustrated, maybe even angry with God. And you realize those feelings are not limited to people 2,000 years ago. Sometimes people today find themselves frustrated that God isn't who they expected him to be or didn't do what they expected him to do, and it leaves them feeling frustrated. And maybe those folks are sometimes you and me. Today we want to look to God's Word to help us kind of reset our expectations. In this season of waiting, we want to let God kind of reestablish exactly who are we waiting for and what are we waiting for him to do. Our theme for tonight, My Soul in Stillness Waits. For who? For the God of Jacob. To do what? To reign. Let's start with who we're waiting for. That title, the God of Jacob, reminds us of a covenant that God made with Abraham and his son Isaac and Jacob, right? He promised to those patriarchs that one of their descendants would be the Messiah. And we can look to Scripture and see that whole line from Abraham all the way down to Mary. Jesus' human ancestry. He was a descendant of Abraham, yes, a descendant of Jacob, but he was more than just a physical descendant of Abraham. What did Jesus once tell the Jews? Before Abraham was born, I am. What do you mean by that? He meant, I've always been here. I am eternal. I am unchanging. I am God. Just as God once told Moses at the burning bush, I am who I am. So also Jesus here said, and that's who I am. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Yes, I am the God of Jacob. And don't think the Jews missed what Jesus said. They understood exactly what he meant. He's saying he's God. And so what did they do? They picked up stones to stone him because they knew that's what Mosaic law, the laws of Moses said, that if you claim you are God, that's blasphemy and that deserves death by stoning. They heard Jesus claim that he was God. They didn't believe it, and so they tried to kill him. But now let's ask the question, why did so many of them react that way? Why didn't they appreciate the gift that they had been waiting so long to see? Because he wasn't who they expected him to be. When this carpenter's kid from some backwater in Galilee steps forward and says he is the Messiah, promise of old, come to save them from their sins, they didn't believe it. They didn't want anything to do with it. They said, no thanks. The Messiah they were waiting for is not the Messiah that showed up. And it wasn't just who he claimed to be that offended them, but also what he did, or in this case, didn't do that disappointed them. Which leads us to the second thing that we are waiting for. Yes, we're waiting for the God of Jacob to do what? To reign. You realize that's what God promised that the Messiah would do. You think of how many passages in the Old Testament scriptures, speak of Jesus or the Messiah as a king, someone who would rule a kingdom. You think of words like the ones from Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Or the words of Isaiah, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign over David's throne and over his kingdom. Even the words of our Old Testament lesson where Jacob says about this coming Messiah, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he to whom it belongs shall come. Obviously, you put all those passages together, and it should not surprise us that the Jews were expecting the Messiah to be, well, a king, like King David or King Solomon. They expected him to be someone who would go to fight for them, defeat their enemies, create prosperity, give them the good life. That's the kind of king that they were waiting for. And you see that when Jesus arrives on the scene. You see that throughout his earthly ministry, right? When Jesus, for example, heals the 5,000, what do the people do? They intended to come and make him a king by force. You think about the number of times that Jesus was asked, so are you going to now establish your kingdom, Jesus? Even Jesus' own disciples who spent 3 years with him ultimately said to him before he ascended, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Right down to the end, there were a lot of Jews who were expecting Jesus to create this wonderful society, make Israel a great nation again. That's what they were looking forward to. That's what they were expecting. And that's why when Jesus finally rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they all treat him like he's a king. But then when by the end of the week, he's beaten and bloodied and looks nothing like a king, they bail. They reject him. He's not their king. Even when Pilate puts the sign on the cross, "The King of the Jews," what did the Pharisees say? "No, do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Isn't that right? Because Jesus wasn't the kind of king that they were expecting, they rejected him. It's like, after waiting so long for this gift, when it turns out to not be the gift that they wanted, they toss it out. Can you relate? I mean, are there times in our lives where we kind of expect God to do something or to be something, and then it doesn't happen, and we're frustrated? We're angry. I mean, if Jesus really is the Lord of the nations, how come our nation is such a mess? If Jesus really is a king reigning, then why in our country do children get shot at school and run over in the streets and legally put to death before they see the light of day? If Jesus is reigning, how could that happen? How come our lives as Christians can be so hard, bombarded by temptation after temptation? We feel like we're losing the battle. The world is against us. We feel beaten down physically and emotionally. It's like, Jesus, if you were a king, man, I would sure think, well, it sure doesn't feel like you are a king. What's the problem with that kind of thinking? Could it be that what we expect Jesus to do and be is not what he has promised? Jesus never promised that he's going to set up utopia here on earth. Jesus never promised that he will come and set up a millennial reign for 1,000 years and it will be peace and prosperity for all. No, never promised that. But that doesn't mean that Jesus is not reigning. Jesus is still reigning. He's reigning over 3 kingdoms. Jesus rules, first of all, the kingdom of power, it's called. He controls everything in our universe, right? He proved it when he stilled the storm, when he drove out demons, when he raised the dead. Jesus, as God, has all authority over plague and pestilence, over storm and wind and wave, over governments and nations. He controls it all. For whose benefit? Yours and mine as believers. What does Scripture say? God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him head over everything for the church. Which brings us to his second kingdom. It's called the kingdom of grace. That's you and me. God has worked faith in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that kingdom that Jesus spoke about with these words. The kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is within you. When the Holy Spirit, through his word and sacrament, works faith in the heart of a human being, God's kingdom of grace has come. When you can say, Jesus, you're number one, that means he's established his throne in your heart, and you are now a member of his kingdom of grace, which means you're now looking forward to a third kingdom, the kingdom of glory, the kingdom that Jesus rules in heaven, sitting on his throne of all of his angels, the kingdom that he gives to those who will once time stand before God on his throne dressed in Jesus' robe of righteousness. Those are the folks to whom Jesus will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom of glory now, prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's the kingdom that we're waiting for. We can wait for that kingdom. And when we do, when we finally, on that day that we finally get to open up that gift, it won't be what we expected. It'll be even better. It'll be better than we could ever imagine, we could ever dream of, we could ever deserve. That kingdom of glory where you and I will stand before God on his throne, that's why we can wait. We wait trusting that Christ the King is still controlling a kingdom of power for our good. We wait grateful that he has made us members of his kingdom of grace, and we wait eagerly anticipating the day that we will be with him, with all of his angels and all the saints in glory everlasting. For those reasons and so many more, we can say this Advent season, my soul in stillness waits. God bless your wait in Jesus. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.